stirred throughout the week for this message, for this particular message that God has given me to come and preach to you guys this morning. I really believe that there's freedom in these words, not my words, but the words of Jesus that we're going to look at this morning. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. So late last year, we started a journey on the book of Matthew, diving into the life of Jesus through the perspective of one of his own disciples. The book of Matthew is one of the oldest written accounts of the life of Jesus. For about 30 to 40 years, they would just go and share the news of Jesus and what Jesus did. They would just share that verbally with one another. But then eventually some of them realized, hey, we should actually write this stuff down. It's really good. So they started writing it down, and Matthew was one of the first to adopt that. And he started writing it all down, everything that Jesus did. But Matthew wrote it down in a specific way. He wanted to highlight specific things about Jesus. Matthew had a goal to bring the reader's attention to three specific aspects of Jesus and who he is. Jesus as the Messiah from the line of David. So you'll hear throughout Matthew, Jesus being referred to as son of David. So he really wanted to highlight that. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, a new Moses. And Jesus is the Son of God. Those are the three things that Matthew really wanted to make clear, that Jesus are those things. So Matthew had a very, very clear intentions of how he wanted to write this book. He had an introduction and a conclusion, of course. And then he had five different sections in between. We conclude the first of the five sections last week when we finished the Sermon on the Mount series. And so this week, we're going to start a brand new section of those five sections. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 together this morning. So this week, we are stepping into that together. And this section, we will see Jesus bringing the kingdom of God into the lives of those who are hurting and broken. So let's turn now to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be jumping around a fair bit. So if you don't have your Bibles here, I've got the text up on the screen as well. But we're not going to be reading it from verse 1 through all the way to the end of chapter 9. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. We're going to be taking some things out from each chapter because I really believe that God's got a flow that he's wanting to show us this morning. So before we do that, let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for an opportunity that we get to gather around your word, to open up your word, God, and learn from it, receive from it. And God, I pray every single one of us will walk out differently, God, because we have encountered you in a real and authentic way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Jesus Heals. Jesus Heals. What we're going to see in these two chapters is Jesus healing people. All kinds of people, men, women, children, even those considered the enemy. And my prayer is that as we look at Jesus healing people, that your faith will be stirred to believe that you too can be healed by Jesus. I believe that this morning you can be set free from whatever sickness or disease is restricting you. This morning, you have an opportunity to step out of that, whatever's causing you pain, whatever's holding you back, whatever's pushing you down, whatever's oppressing you, whatever's suppressing you, whatever's depressing you. This morning, you can be set free from those things because Jesus heals. He wants his kingdom to be a reality in our lives. So as you read and hear about these moments where Jesus heals, tell yourself that he can do it for me. If he can do it for them, he can do it for me. If he did it then, he can do it now. Because the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is living in us. And God is the same yesterday, God is the same today, and God is the same forever. So if he did it back then, he can do it now. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27. It says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. I love that question. Who is this man? Who is this man? We're starting here this morning because we need to understand, we need to comprehend, we need to accept something about Jesus. If we are going to see Jesus heal us, set us free, then we need to be aware of and believe that Jesus has ultimate authority. Who is this man? So Jesus was woken up by his disciples because of a storm, a serious storm. We know it's serious because some of Jesus' disciples were seasoned fishermen, and they too were afraid. So they rushed to Jesus, for Jesus is sleeping in a storm. And they wake him up. They say, don't you care that we're about to drown? Don't you care we're going to die? They wake him up asking him to do something. Now let's quickly pause here. We may feel like the ship is sinking. We're about to go down. But Jesus is not concerned. He is completely at peace with the situation because he knows the outcome. We don't know what's coming. We might be stuck on that ship and it might feel like all hell has broken loose. There's so much coming against us. The wind is restricting us. The waves are overwhelming us. But Jesus is at peace. Jesus is in your situation with you at peace, and it feels like he's asleep because nothing's happening, nothing's changing, nothing's getting better. But he's at peace because he knows the outcome. He knows what he is capable of. He knows what he is going to do. Verse 26 says, Jesus' response, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Sometimes I read verses like this and I'm left feeling a little bothered, almost offended for the disciples. You have such little faith. But when we come across scriptures that we struggle with or maybe even disagree with, something has to shift. Something has to change. And it's not God's word that's changing. Yeah. Something has to shift within us. So when I feel bothered at Jesus asking his disciples or telling his disciples, you've got such little faith. I can't get offended for them. I can't be offended on their behalf. There's something in me that's got to shift. If something of that statement bothers me, there's something in me that's bothered by the fact that Jesus is pointing a mirror at me and going, look at this. There's something in me that needs to change. The scripture will not change. God's word remains. God's word is the same. God's word is unchanging. I've got to shift. I've got to change. I've got to move. I've got to do something different. Change Jesus' statement to a question. Why do you have such little faith? And my prayer is this morning that we will all move from such little faith to see Jesus heal. Because as we journey through these two chapters, we will see Jesus come through again and again and again and again, challenging us to increase our faith and believe for more. He gets up, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and suddenly, immediately, straight away, there was a great calm, leaving the disciples with one question: who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? He is the one that has the authority over the wind. He is the one that has the authority over the waves. He is the man that has the authority to silence the storms. Storms that rage on around us and storms that rage on inside of us. He has the authority. He has the power to calm the storm. Suddenly, immediately, straight away, he speaks and there's a calm. He is also a man who responds to faith. All through chapter 8 and chapter 9, we see Jesus responding to faith. Watch this, Matthew 8, verse 2 to 3. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, You can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. The man approaches Jesus and clearly is full of faith. He doesn't ask Jesus for his miracle. He tells Jesus what he needs. And Jesus can come through for him. He believes that Jesus can come through for him. If you are willing, you can heal me. A faith statement. You can heal me. He didn't wonder if Jesus could. He wondered if Jesus would. There's a big difference between that. It's not, oh, can Jesus do this? Will Jesus do this? I know he can do this, but will he do this? And I just want to make one thing clear this morning before we get any further, that Jesus is willing. There's nothing that Jesus is not willing to do for you. He died on a cross for you. He laid his life down for you. I'm sure a sickness or disease or oppression or depression or suppression, he is willing to take that away. He is willing to move that mountain. He's willing to take that thing off of your life. The question is, if he's not willing, the question is, where is our faith? Again, Matthew 8, verse 5 to 10. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slave, do this, they do it. Then Jesus heard this and he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I have not seen faith like this in all Israel. Jesus is amazed by this Roman officer's faith. The officer understands the authority that Jesus has better than some of his own people do, better than some of his own disciples understand the authority that Jesus has. In case you didn't see it, this should challenge you. Will you allow someone who doesn't even follow Jesus to have more faith than you? Or will you believe that if Jesus can do it for someone who is an enemy to his own people, he surely can do it for you? The Roman officer was oppressing the people, the Jewish people. The Roman officer was pushing against the Jewish culture, the Jewish way of life, and Jesus was willing to help him. Someone that doesn't even follow him. But will we have that kind of faith? Then Jesus, verse 13 says, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. I love that. Jesus didn't have to go even to that place. The Roman officer just believed that Jesus had the authority to speak to the sickness. Jesus had the authority to speak to the disease. And the servant was healed. The boy was healed. In chapter 9, we are told of Jesus healing a man that was paralyzed. But as it was happening, Jesus' authority was questioned. And as a response to his critics, Jesus tells the paralyzed man to get up and walk. So the man jumps up and goes home. Luke, one of the other gospel writers, gives us his perspective on the same miracle. He tells us that this paralyzed man received his healing because of his friend's faith. They knew that Jesus was able to heal their friends, so they made a way for him to come before Jesus. And Jesus responded to their faith. See, Jesus will even heal you because of someone else's faith. If you're struggling to believe for the breakthrough, if you're struggling to believe for the freedom, if you're struggling to believe for the healing, partner yourself with someone that can believe for you. You see, this man didn't even know that Jesus was going to heal him. He's paralyzed. He's on a mat. He can't even get himself to Jesus. But it was the faith of his friends. If you read it in other accounts, it says that they got up on the roof because they couldn't even get through the door. There were so many people around Jesus. They made a hole in the roof to lower their friend down. And the friend ends up right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks up at them. And then he looks down at the paralyzed man and says, "Get up and walk. Get up and walk." God wants to heal you. And if you can't believe for it, get next to someone that will believe for it. Because there's people in this room this morning that have been praying for you, that have been believing with you, even though you don't even know. Even if you came into this room this morning, you didn't even know that there was going to be a moment for you to be healed. There's going to be a moment for you to be set free. We've been praying for you. We've been believing for you. And in a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to step out in faith. Whether you lack that faith, there's people in this room that don't lack the faith for your healing, that don't lack the faith for your miracle, that have been believing and praying that you will step into your freedom. So if you're sitting there right now questioning, "God, I don't even know if you want to heal me. God, I don't even know if you can heal me. God, I don't even know if I can believe that you can set me free." He can, he is willing, he is able, and he's going to do it. And if you don't believe it, I believe it. And if you don't believe it, Pastor Jason believes it. And if you don't believe it, Jed believes it. And if you don't believe it, Isaac believes it. There are people in this room this morning that will believe with you that you can be set free, that you can be healed. Can I have the band come up? This is your moment. This is your opportunity. This is your time to receive from Jesus what he wants to give you. Matthew 9, verse 18 to 21. This is one of my favorite moments of Jesus healing someone. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. He's in this room. Here this morning, church. Don't let your heart be numb to him. Don't think that he can't come through for you. He's here. Just be open to him. Be open to him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. I'm sorry. I read this a couple of times this week and didn't cry once. Can we put the scripture on the screen for them? Matthew 9, 18 to 20. "Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years was with constant bleeding came out behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, 'If I could just touch his robe, I will be healed.' Jesus is busy responding to another person's faith. He's on his way to go and heal or bring back to life someone's dead daughter. Oh, why am I crying? I feel like you, Jet. And as Jesus is on his way responding to someone else's faith, there's this woman in a crowd that has been suffering for 12 years. Probably the same amount of time this little girl was alive. This man believed that if Jesus would simply lay his hand on his daughter, she will come back to life. But this woman believed if she could just get her hand on him, she will be free. She will receive healing. She didn't need to stop him. She didn't need to have a conversation with him. She didn't need to tell him her issue. She didn't need to describe to him what was going on, when it started, how it came about. Nothing like that. She just knew that if she could touch him, if she can get a hold of just the fringe of his robe, that she would be set free. And you are here this morning in his sweet presence. And he wants to respond to you. Yes, he wants to hear about the issue. Yes, he wants to find out and hear from you the struggles that you've been through. But he will also respond if you just reached out. If you just extended your arm out toward him. Can we have that kind of faith this morning? To believe that as we reach out to Jesus, he will set us free. I don't even know if I'm going to make it to the end. Matthew 9:22 says, Jesus turned around and when he saw her, he said to her, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed in that moment. She touches the fringe of Jesus' robe and she is healed. Luke tells us that. So this is obviously in Matthew, and Luke tells us about the same moment. And in Luke it says that as she reached out, Jesus felt power leave his body. And he stops in that moment. And he says, "Who touched me?" And in that moment, Jesus is busy walking to another place and there's a crowd all around him and everyone's pushing in on him. And the disciples turn to him and says, "What do you mean? Who touched you? Look at this crowd. Everyone's touching you." And he says, "No, someone touched me in faith. Someone reached out to me believing for more. Believing for more." And this woman just left there in front of him. And he turns to her. It says, "Your faith has healed you." Are there people in this room this morning that will believe that their faith will heal them? Yes, you're coming to Jesus. Yes, you're putting your faith in him. Yes, you're stretching out to him. But do you have that faith this morning to actually stretch out, to actually make your way to him, to push through the crowd, no matter what it costs, no matter how many times you've done it, no matter how long you struggled with it? Are you in this place this morning willing to stretch out? Say, "Jesus, you can heal me." But Jesus didn't forget about the little girl either. Matthew 9:23-25, when Jesus arrived at the official's home, he said to the noisy crowd, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. "Get out," he told them. "This girl isn't dead, she's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand and she stood up. Jesus is a man who responds to faith. And this morning, he will respond to your faith. He will even respond to someone else's faith for you. He has the authority to calm the wind and the waves. He has the authority to silence the storm. He has the authority to silence the raging storm that's within you too. And on top of this, Jesus being a man who responds to faith, he also is a man who sets us free. I'm not even going to read it. Look, there's so many times in this portion of Scripture, in chapter 8 and chapter 9, where we read demon-oppressed people come to Jesus. People that are struggling with real things. People that have things attached to their lives that were not meant to be there, that God never created them and intended them to carry, to have, to hold. And Jesus sets them free. He doesn't just respond to a broken leg, he responds to a broken heart. He doesn't just heal blind eyes, he heals a spirit that's completely crippled. And if you're in this place this morning, you may be good in body, but broken in spirit. You may be able to walk in and put a smile on your face, but your heart is crushed. He responds to you too. He sets you free as well. And I know it's hard words, demon possessed. That's heavy. That's a lot. And you may be in here and you go, I don't have a demon, but I'm struggling. He responds to you too. He sets us free. No evil spirit can continue to oppress us, depress us, or suppress us when Jesus walks into our lives. Chapter 8 says, Jesus cast out evil spirits with a simple command. It's nothing for Jesus. He says, go and they must go. Jesus is a man who sets us free. Jesus is here this morning, and if you have not felt him yet, soften your heart to him. He is here. He is here this morning. I'm not a crier. I wouldn't just cry for no reason. I'm crying because I'm overwhelmed by his presence, because he is here this morning and he wants to move in your life. All you have to do is approach him in faith. Jesus said that even if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can see miracles. So stir your faith this morning. Come on, stand with me, church. He wants to minister to you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. So stir your faith. Believe. If you're standing there right now in doubt, there are people here that do not doubt that he will come through for you, that he will heal you, that he will set you free. Just repeat this prayer after me. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Father, I just pray for every single one of us that you will gift us with the gift of faith this morning, God. That you will pour out your faith, God. That you will pour out your faith on us. God, if we are lacking, you are more than able to pour out, to give us, to pour out liberally, God. So pour out your faith this morning, God. Pour out your faith this morning, God. Let us respond to you. Let us step out and believe that you are willing, you are able, that you can do it. If you're here this morning and you need a healing, if you're here this morning and you need a breakthrough, if you're here this morning and you struggle to walk or you struggle to even get out of bed, if you're here and your neck is sore, if you're here and your shoulders hurt, if you're here and your knees sore, step out right now in faith, because he wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. Don't wait, just come out. Don't wait, just come out. Push through. He's here. He's here. Push through. I know there's people that are sick. Push through. Come out. Step out. Step out in faith. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. He wants to move in your body. You don't have to tell Him about it. You don't have to write up a list and say, hey, God, X, Y, Z. No, reach out to Him. Stretch out to Him. He will respond. He will heal. He will bring the breakthrough. He will bring the breakthrough. If you're here this morning and you don't have a physical ailment, like I said before, but your spirit is crushed. Your mind is running wild all the time. Your heart is broken. You can't focus on anything for more than 10 minutes. You probably missed half of my message and you saw me crying. And you're like, what's going on in here? He wants to respond to you too. He wants to heal you too. He wants to set you free as well. So now's your time. Join these at the front here that are struggling with physical pain. You step out if you're struggling with mental pain. You step out if you're struggling with emotional pain. You step out if you're struggling with spiritual pain. Where there's hurts in you. Years and years you've been carrying them around. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day where you be, where your chains are broken. There is more for you in the life of Christ. There is more for you following Jesus. So we're going to pray. We're going to start praying for these people that have physical pains. Don't think that we are judging you when you come out. No, we are championing you when you come out. We are encouraging you when you come out. We want you to be set free. We want you to be healed. We want you to walk in freedom. Christ died for you so that you can have life and life in abundance. He doesn't want you to walk around in a prison cell. There's more for you, church. There's more for you right now. Reach out, stretch out, touch His hand. Can we move a little bit here so just to make more room? Can you just move there? Francois, just come forward. Just make way. People, come forward. I know there's more. I know there's more. I'm not going to start praying until you move. And there's nothing special about this carpet up here. No, it's what's happening in here when you step out. It's what's happening in here when you make a decision to move out of your situation, to move out of your circumstance, to move out of your scenario. You feel like you're in prison, but I tell you what, the prison door is open. Just push it open. The prison door is unlocked. Just walk out. There is freedom for you in this place.